All right, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Jack Kimball. I'm the chairman of the Granite State Patriots Liberty Pack. I see a lot of familiar faces out here today. I want to thank Speaker of the House, Bill O'Brien, for being here and all the hard work you put in this battle. I'm glad I'm not you. And listen, I'm sincere when I say this to all of you state reps and the legislation that you've worked so hard and passed. I mean, that's just, to me, just sitting back and watching this was phenomenal. So I applaud you and thank you very much for what you've done for the state. It's not an easy job. I know it. I know it's difficult to come out on a day, you're not in session, you know, with Republicans, most of us in this room, I think, and that doesn't matter, because Rosa Khoury is a liberal Democrat, I'm a conservative Republican, but the thing I say all the time is we are Americans and should be before we're anything else. And one of the things I'll tell you is that what Rosa is doing, as far as I'm concerned, is very patriotic, and she's a warrior. She's very brave coming out and doing this and traveling the country to spread the word. I got on board with the United Nations Agenda 21 about 3.5 months ago. Folks, I didn't know anything about it either. And a lot of you may be just getting on board too. This is probably the biggest threat to our liberty and freedom, as far as I'm concerned anyway, that this country faces right now. They've had a 20-year head start, and we're playing catch up. But we're going to catch up. That's a promise. My pack, I'm announcing today, is going to change its focus and focus 100% on eradicating this from our state. That's what we're going to do. Today, you're going to hear a wonderful presentation. I've heard Rosa speak now twice. It's entrancing. You will not be bored, and you're going to leave here with a wealth of very valuable information. You're going to get the opportunity to ask questions, and please, please ask. You're going to get some really substantive answers, and you're going to walk out of here with it, and oh my God. And we all have to pull together. It doesn't matter. This runs the gamut. Republicans, Democrats, Independents. There's no party lines here. Rosa, she's an ASA, is a forensic commercial real estate appraiser specializing in eminent domain valuation. Her nearly 30 years of experience analyzing land use and property value enabled her to recognize the planning revolution sweeping the nation. While fighting to stop a huge redevelopment project in her city, she researched the corporate, political, and financial interests behind it and found United Nations Agenda 21. Rosa speaks across the nation, and she's a regular blogger on her website, DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com. Please, nice round of applause for Rosa Khoury.
Thank you, Jack. Here we go. Here I come. There we go. How's that? Good. All right. Well, I thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here with you. And I am Rosa Khoury. And it's incredible what New Hampshire has been doing. And the eyes of the nation are definitely on you. I want you to know. So I'll tell you just briefly, quickly about myself. I am a commercial real estate appraiser. My specialty is eminent domain valuation. And for 30 years, I've been playing like Jimi Hendrix. I hope that doesn't happen again. But for 30 years, I've worked for the California Department of Transportation. I'm a district branch chief, and I've just retired. I'm a litigation support person, an expert witness in land use and property valuation. And those years of analysis and litigation support prepared me for recognizing the planning revolution that was sweeping the nation, that began, that I first noticed back in 2002. And in researching that, as well as in fighting a huge fraudulent redevelopment project in my city, where I was actually elected to the project area committee, and from sitting on that committee and doing research, I found that the whole project was fraudulent, and it's a long deal, but through researching that, I found the issues behind it, and they led to United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. Like one of your members said in his testimony in regards to House Bill 1634, I was a skeptic, and as well you should be. But in doing the research, I found that this really wasn't something that was a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact. And this information is fully documented. Everything that I'm going to be talking about today is a fact. And if I'm speculating or I'm giving my opinion on something, I'll tell you. Otherwise, everything I'm talking about is fully documented. So I know that as Americans, you're going to find yourselves deeply at odds with and completely concerned by the agenda for the 21st century. And that is what it's called by the United Nations and the world. It's not Catch-22. It's not Area 51. It's Agenda 21, because it is the agenda for the 21st century. That is what it's called by the United Nations. It's a blueprint. It is the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all information, all energy, all means of production, and all human beings in the world. It is a totally comprehensive plan. Yes, it's a we'll just do what we can with the fabulous technology of our 21st century here. It is a transition from representative government. Now this is serious. It's a transition from representative government to government by unelected boards and commissions. It is truly an erection of a shadow government, of another layer of government, of a parallel government. This is what it is. It is an erasure of jurisdictional boundaries. It is a loss of private property rights, a loss of sovereignty, both personal, physical sovereignty, and physical sovereignty in terms of our nation. And it's a loss of our freedom. So of course we're going to be concerned about this, all of us, not just as Americans, but as free human beings. Agenda 21 Sustainable Development was signed on to by 179 nations, including the United States, in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, at the Earth Summit, the United Nations Earth Summit. George H.W. Bush committed the United States to implementing sustainable development, and it has been supported by every president ever since. It's a global plan, but it's implemented locally. Now, you know that the day before yesterday was the end of the 20th anniversary of the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit. They had it again in Rio, and of course you're seeing that if you read the papers, they'll say it was a total failure, that they didn't get what they wanted. This is really not true. This has been a very successful program. It is global, but it's implemented locally, and you will see it locally. It is not called Agenda 21, and that's how when you go, when you're questioning your staff or your planners or your regional planning commission, and they say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of Agenda 21. Or lately what we're hearing is, oh, that Agenda 21. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That's that dusty old 20-year-old plan that has no teeth, it's non-binding, and it's nothing to worry about. That is a lie. This plan is implemented in the United States. It is the biggest public relations scam in the history of the world. But it's far more than that. The agenda for the 21st century is a recipe for destruction. It enables and justifies monitoring and metering and restricting our energy and water usage through smart meters, instituting a carbon tax on industry, pulverizing our roads and destroying our dams, sinking our economy, exhausting our military with endless war, diagnosing a huge portion of our population with mental illness and drugging us, bleeding our transportation budget with high-cost trains to nowhere, revamping our school system by inserting sustainable development principles from pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate school, declaring our public lands off limits to humans, changing every land use document in the nation to require high-density housing in city centers in order to more easily control, monitor, and surveil us, allowing warrantless searches and seizures, domestic surveillance, identifying us as a potential enemy combatant in our own nation. You know, if an enemy was trying to destroy us, they couldn't do a better job. This is the erection of a corporatocracy. It is a global totalitarian state, and it is in progress right now. It doesn't come with flashing lights. It doesn't come with labels. As I said, you will not see it called Agenda 21. And I know it sounds crazy, and it definitely is crazy. I am not crazy. The plan is crazy. So there's an overarching political and social philosophy that goes with it, and it's communitarianism. And what communitarianism says is that the individual's rights have to be balanced with the rights of the community. Now, we know what the individual's rights are. We are guaranteed our individual rights by our Constitution. They're not granted to us by our Constitution or by our government. We were born with those rights. They were given to us by our Creator. The rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are individual rights. But those rights have to be balanced with the rights of the community under communitarianism. Now, what are the rights of the community? They're not delineated. They're not written. They're not identified anywhere. They can change at any time. You will see this called a living document. They can be granted or taken away by whoever is running the government. They need to be balanced, then, with the individual's rights. And you know, the individual's rights will be like a feather, and the community's rights are always like a brick, because there's always more weight to the community than there is to an individual. So when you have everything for the common good, then you have that weight on the community. Now, that could be your local community, your local town, that could be your state, that could be your region, that could be the world. In this case, it's usually the global community. Now, I like to use this visual for what that is like, to have your individual rights balanced with the rights of the community. So just think of this. We've got two clear glasses. One is a glass of water, and that's your constitutional republic. That's what we have here, a glass of water, clear glass of water like we have here. Now you've got a glass of milk, and that is a communitarian state. Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, Communist China. Those are communitarian states. It's all for the fatherland, all for the common good. Now you're going to take that clear glass of water, constitutional republic, and balance it with your communitarian state. You've got a clear glass pitcher, you put it down here, and you balance them. You pour them together. What do you have? You got milk. You've balanced your individual rights with the rights of the community, and they have been subsumed into the rights of the community, and you have lost your individual rights. That is what happens when you balance your rights with the rights of the community. Agenda 21 is dependent on the Hegelian dialectic, and that says that a crisis is created and a solution is posed, and the balance between the two then becomes the new normal, which is something that you never would have accepted. But now that there's a crisis, then you are forced or pressured to accept this new solution. So, what's the crisis? Global warming. Global warming, climate change. Is it climate change or is it global warming? It's whatever it is, it's serious. It is so serious. The planet's in danger. The sea levels are rising. Half of New Hampshire's going to be underwater. You're going to need a snorkel to get out of bed in 100 years or less. There's no time to lose. Biodiversity disappearing. Panic, chaos, collapse. This is part of communitarianism, is to keep us nervous, panicked, and on the edge so that we cannot think clearly and reason. So I'll give you an example of what this looks like in my town from our local newspaper. It says, it's hard to deny that the earth is functioning well over capacity, like an overworked horse. It's simply a matter of time before the global organism collapses. Feel that panic, that stress? All intelligent people agree that it's our fault. Our selfish, greedy, wasteful ways have almost destroyed the planet. So, what are we going to do about it? The United Nations to the rescue. Here comes the United Nations. It's going to rescue us. In 1987, now, everybody thinks they know what sustainable development is, right? You've heard the term sustainable development. You think, you know, if I were to ask all of you, you might give a, you know, different definition of what you think sustainable development is. But this is where the term came from the United Nations in 1987, the Brundtland Commission, the World Commission on the Environment and Development in 1987, chaired by Maurice Strong, who you'll remember from the Oil for Food scandal. They defined, in a book called Our Common Future, they defined sustainable development, and it is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Sounds good, right? I don't think that the pilgrims coming and setting foot here would have thought to themselves, let's do whatever we can to mess it up for the people in 2012. Nobody was thinking, you know, all of us, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, everyone wants the world to be in a position where it's livable after we're gone. But the United Nations said, yes, everything that we are doing now does compromise the ability of future generations to meet their needs. So what are we going to do about it? So they said to that commission, they said, can you come back in 5 years with the action plan, the blueprint for how we implement sustainable development worldwide? And they said, sure. And they did. And here it is. This is the Earth Summit, Agenda 21, the United Nations Program of Action from Rio. It's 300 pages, 40 chapters. You can get it at un.org. It's $25 from the United Nations website. This in itself is a green mask. This is why I call my book Behind the Green Mask, because the green mask, these things look good. This is all, like I said, it's a public relations scam. So when you recognize, though, that this what this is about is an inventory and control plan. Inventory and control. So what's unsustainable? According to Chairman Maurice Strong, the middle class, affluent lifestyle that you either enjoy or aspire to is unsustainable. Single family residences, private vehicles, air conditioning, appliances, meat eating, and that went over real big in Texas, I'll tell you, livestock, dams. You like to golf? Golf is unsustainable. Many, many other things are unsustainable. There's long lists. Now, this is the way that we live in this country. When you think about the impact of a document like that being accepted in our nation, then you begin to be able to put into context what our loss, our crash of our economy is all about. So there are three, they call these the three pillars. There's three, they have kind of a logo of Agenda 21, and it's sort of a Venn diagram. You might have seen it. It's three interlocking circles. Looks like a piece of the Olympic symbol, right? And it looks like this, actually. It's three circles, and it's social equity, the environment, and ecology. And when those are all in balance in the center, when they're balanced, that's sustainable development, when everything's in balance. Social equity, no one has any more than anyone else. The environment and the economy and social equity balance together. This covers economics, housing, transportation, land use, health, water, energy, food production, and population control. China was one of the 179 nations that signed on to Agenda 21. And they have their local Agenda 21 document in which they state that they are working on a sterilization vaccine with the United States. Now, one of the main pillars of Agenda 21, it is principle number 15, and it's the precautionary principle. And you may have heard of it. It's very important because whatever you think about climate change, global warming, or whatever, you might think, well, it's not, you know, I think there's plenty of science, whatever you might think to yourself, there's plenty of science that says it's not true. So you say, well, I've got 10 scientists who say it isn't. Well, I've got 20. Well, I have 100. Well, I have 1,000. Well, I've got 10,000. Well, I have 30,000. It doesn't matter because of the precautionary principle. And that says that if an action or a policy has a suspected risk of causing harm to the public or the environment, in the absence of scientific consensus that it is harmful, the action or the policy may be harmful if there's no scientific consensus that it's harmful. The burden of proof that it is not harmful falls on the party who wishes to take the action. You're guilty until proven innocent. You have to prove a negative with the precautionary principle. Now, in the European Union, they use that to make law. In the United States, we use it to make policy. So this is a global plan, but it's implemented locally, as I said. And what it looks like, mostly, what you're going to see is a land use plan. In 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Bush and 178 other leaders signed on to it. It's soft law. It's not a treaty. It's an agreement. It wasn't ratified by the Congress. The very first thing that Clinton did when he took office the next year, he was elected in November, January he took office, June of 1993, he created the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And the sole purpose of that council was to implement Agenda 21 in the United States. The very first thing they did was they gave a multi-million dollar grant to the American Planning Association, which is a private group. And they said, can you guys come up with a document for us, a book that we can get into every university, every college, and every planning department in the entire United States to change their land use policies so that we can implement Agenda 21? And the American Planning Association said, sure, we'll be happy to do that. And they did. And this is the cover of their book. It's a 12-pound book. It's called Growing Smart, Legislative Guidebook with Model Statutes for Planning and the Management of Change. And you will find this in your planning departments all across your state, and it's all across the United States. It's in every university. If you want to be a planner, you're studying that book. It came out in 2002, and that was around the time that I discovered that there was a planning revolution going on in our country. That if I went in to appraise somebody's property for a road project, the planning department of whatever city or county it was wasn't able to tell me what could be done with that property by right, no matter what the zoning was. The party was not able to develop by right. Now, this is really a big deal because there were 12 cabinet-level secretaries on the President's Council of Sustainable Development. HUD, EPA, energy, transportation, education, defense, interior. We're talking about federal agencies that changed their administrative policies to bring them in line with United Nations Agenda 21. Also on the President's Council of Sustainable Development, we had captains of industry. Ken Lay from Enron was on the President's Council of Sustainable Development. Dow Chemical was on there. Along with them, mostly energy companies, along with them were the environmental groups, Sierra Club, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and others. I doubt that you were there or that you even knew that it was happening. So growing smart is smart growth. That's where that came from. Growing smart is smart growth. Now, what we've got here, we've got a situation where our country is changing, is about to change radically. And the President's Council of Sustainable Development, they said, you know, the people, when they figure this out, they might not like it. They might get a little upset about it. They might feel a little bit manipulated. So we want to bring them on board. We want the people to feel that this is their plan. So they did something else. They commissioned another book. It's called Sustainable America, A New Consensus. Now, I know you know all about consensus. Consensus means you get a group of people together and you hammer out an issue, you work out what you think about it, everyone's voice is heard until you can work out a program that you can all agree on. But a new consensus is neutralization of the opposition, neutralizing your enemies. A new consensus uses a RAND Corporation mind control technique. This is being used in government meetings all over the United States right now. When you go to a visioning meeting, you are being Delphied. This is the Delphi technique developed by the RAND Corporation in the 1950s, 60s. What it does is it brings a group of people into a meeting, brings them to a predetermined outcome while giving them the impression that it was all their idea. You can Delphi one person all the way to the entire world. And the entire world is being Delphied right now. This is what it is. So this technique is being used when you're brought in, you know, let's come on, Granite State Future, come on down, let's hear what you think about our new plan for your state. You come in there and you're sitting in those little meeting rooms. You might be in an elementary school. You've got your knees up underneath that little table and you've got your crayons and you're coloring on a map showing what you'd like to see in your town, your vision, your new vision for your city center. This is a RAND Corporation mind control technique because there isn't anything you're going to color on that's going to change that plan. That plan is set before you walk in the room. Those plans are being rolled out all over the United States right now with a deadline of 2013. You'll find them all over the United States. Here it's Granite State Future. You'll see it as one Bay Area, one Valley, one vision, five states, one vision, six counties, one vision, our Florida, our future. It's all over the United States. What is the big deal with this? It does not allow for dissent. Now, I don't know about you, but I am proud to be an American. And that First Amendment means something. We have the right to speak freely. When you implement a policy that does not allow for dissent, when you've got the new consensus, when you use a communitarian technique that vilifies, marginalizes, mocks, and shames anyone who stands up and says that they do not like this plan, that they do not want to support this plan, then you find yourself knocking on the door of the American embassy late at night when you're blind, crawling through the bushes and trying to get to a free country. And we have to ask ourselves, what is it that separates us from a country like China? And that is our ability, one of the things, is our ability to speak freely. So this plan that's being implemented across the country is designed to stop dissent. So you're going to see it as, you'll see it called capacity building, strengthening community, consensus building. You're going to see it as vibrant, walkable, bikeable, transformation, change. Remember the title of this book? It's Model Statutes for Planning and the Management of Change. Now that is a jargon term. Yes, I said I'm a liberal Democrat, but I did not fall for that change thing. That is rhetoric. That is a manipulation because change is a jargon term. It means something entirely different to the people who are running this plan. It means the word transformation and change means destruction of what we think of as our American system. So, in case you think I'm kidding around here, made this up, this is Rescue Mission, Planet Earth, a children's edition of Agenda 21. This is in schools. It's been given to children for years. This is printed, I think, in 1994. This is a children's edition of Agenda 21. It's by